Good evening, friends. Good afternoon. This meeting is being recorded. Got it. My name is Tom Kunisch, and I thought I would tell you a couple things about me before we get going, because they can be important. I don't know if you have turtles this big in the UK, but this is called a snapping turtle. And these turtles dig themselves into the ground in the winter and overwinter underground. And then when they come up, they oftentimes carry the world, a piece of the earth on their back. And it's from this idea that some people think that we get the idea that this land that I and Kira at least are on is called Turtle Island. There are lots of those snapping turtles up there in Minnesota. Kira, have you seen that? Those kind of big ones? No? Okay.
No, sorry. No, they look extraordinary, Tom. I never have seen them. No.
I just saw one come out of the mud this spring at a pond nearby me, but they are remarkable animals. Anyway, I live on a land called Turtle Island, and in Lakota, it's called Keawita, which means literally island turtle, Turtle Island. And that little star is where I grew up, and that's about where Kira grew up, or Kira is. And I lived down in this area between Cahokia and Coosa and Moundville, which is old Muscogee and Yuchi tribal sites. In fact, you'll see the name Yuchi and Muscogee in my bio there. This is where I attend meeting. You can see that where the Nashville location is. And that's just to give you some situation. Oftentimes in the States, when we get on meetings, especially like Southern Appalachian Conference, we tell our pronouns and we share the traditional land that was on there as an acknowledgement of the traditional lands that we are on, in hopes that sometime some of the lands, if not all the lands, will be returned to Native Americans, indigenous people. And just so you know that I do have one sensitivity. We are not Indians. I like Indian food, but we are people from Turtle Island. My family is Lakota, as Kira said, and the land of the Dakotas, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, is a Dakota word itself. So just for that sensitivity, if and when we get to it at the end. Just to let you know what I'm doing here is I have three electronic devices in front of me. One is my phone, in which I have the slides on there so I can see what's coming up. And I have the slides over here on my adjacent screen. And now I'm going to obscure all of you from this screen that I'm looking at and read from some text. So just to let you know what tonight's talk is about, it's that non-theism, which is kind of the equivalent of agnosticism, often suggests, or at least in one version, often suggests disengagement from the God question. Atheism and non-theism can also be the active engagement with the God question, except that, and it should be, so my suggestion tonight, is that we should be actively involved with the God question, except that we have to update our definitions of God, of religion, and what atheism should be. So my name is Tom Kunisch, Tom for twin, of which I'm the oldest of four, and Kunisch from my Bohemian great-grandfather who immigrated to this land, to Cleveland, Ohio around 1870, a good white settler Bohemian name that is written in all lowercase because I'm both not a capitalist and to indicate that I'm mixed blood Lakota, people indigenous to the land where I was born, Minnesota, land of sky blue water. Now let's start the regular part. Like agnosticism, Quaker non-theism, or is an interesting word. Agnosticism was created by Thomas Huxley so that he could pass in London clubs for religion. The word could pass for him in London clubs. That's clumsy. He made up the word. It was designed to have no intellectual or moral agenda in society, just a flat statement of, I don't do God or gods, a way to signal that a person like Huxley chose to disengage from the sectarian arguing of the time. I think it's a commendable self-description and useful to be as inclusive of all sorts of beliefs that don't follow the Euro-Christian religion models. My goal today is to advocate for an alternative way of approaching non-theism proactively in our weekly hours of sitting quietly, thinking or not about the changing of the gods in society and how different gods call for a different kind of non-theism. First, I'd like to introduce you to a different lay of the land of atheism, not with anti-godites, but with materialists who saw in religion, in theisms, several different meanings. Oops. Like this guy here, Socrates, a self-proclaimed God's believer, who was nonetheless the first person in history that I know of, who was publicly executed for being an atheist. Why was he sentenced to death for atheism? Because people didn't like learning how their traditional moralities and rationalizations didn't make logical sense. He caused young people to doubt, to be suspicious of accepted rules and explanations. I think of him as really the godfather of the theology of suspicion, the guy who asks, who does theism really benefit? Just so you know, I've had a lot of help thinking about non-theism from a number of long dead men, most of whom you know. Karl Marx, whose 1843 comment that religion is the opium of the people, started a whole new generation of ideas. Emil Durkheim, whose 1897 text, Suicide, showed how religion functions positively and negatively in different religious groups. Sherlock Holmes, in the 1890 story of logical problem solving, taught me to put my trust in material possibilities rather than metaphysical mysteries. Sigmund Freud, whose 1927 Future of an Illusion proposed that religion had a psychological origin in the family. And in the middle, Manuel de Valverde Unamuno's 1931 priestly protagonist who models a way for a person to be both atheist and to use religion from the inside for good. All of whom have inspired me to be here today. It was the earliest guy, Carl, who said religion is both a sign of human oppression and a human attempt to relieve that oppression. That thought revolutionized thinking about religion to the degree that some understood the solution to human oppression to be killing religion. Thus the age of militant atheism began, anti-theism. But religion grew in the age of world wars and the colonial expansionism of the USA and USSR and China. And now it looks like traditional religious institutions are dying, losing millions of followers around the world. But is religion really dying? Institutional religion may be shedding members, people saying they're spiritual rather than religious, but I think something else is happening. Most of us here are of a certain age in which sex, drugs, rock and roll became the god of the 60s. And we see here a list of all the other gods, including nations, and over there on the right side, a list of corporations that I believe are our new gods. A great British novelist, Neil Gaiman, also writes about the same thing, the new gods, in his novel, American Gods. Religions change and gods change. And when gods change, atheism needs to be aware and to acknowledge the change. Let me say it another different way. Atheists, like Socrates, non-theists, are pains in the butt. He was an atheist because he challenged people's belief and reasonings. Marx, Freud, Durkheim, all very good non-theists, did the same. They said that there's a real material substance in religion under the facade of myths and miracles and metaphysics, psychological truths, sociological truths, economic truths. Marx said religion is a pain-relieving drug, and it is for many who want or need an escape from this world. Freud said religion is an illusion, a projection of family relationships and ego into story, into family history. Durkheim said religion is society worshiping itself, human writ large, and the more socially adaptable an institutional religion is, the better for society. These are my guides, to which I add Marx's comment, philosophers have only interpreted the world. The point, however, is to change it. When we relieve ourselves of God belief and Jesus belief, we also relieve ourselves of its moral imperative, love. Besides insight into the meaning of religion, Marx also gives us a different imperative, change, something non-theists, especially atheists, have not done, to change with the modern gods. We have been so busy watching the institutional churches that we have not paid sufficient notice to the other institutions that have been gaining more and more followers, the new gods. New gods require new non-theists, new atheists, to engage these material gods of growing worth as non-believers, as disbelievers in their ultimate worth and their worship. Non-theism often suggests disengagement from the God question. I believe that non-theism should mean active engagement with the God question, and that we just have to update our definitions of God, of religion, and work harder. We'll take a few minutes, a couple minutes. Breathe and sit silently. And then Kira, Tim, you want to take back over?